The book of Proverbs, chapter number 18, Proverbs 18 and 9. Through desire, a man having separated himself seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover it. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with ignominy reproach. The word ignominy, as you see there in verse 3, deals with the subject of disgrace and dishonor. Final definition of that word would be confusion. In verse 4, the Bible says, the words of a man, of a man's mouth, are as deep waters, and the wellspring, and the wellspring of wisdom, as a flowing brook. I'd like for you to, of course, as you begin to read through this chapter with me, note every verse that has to do with human communication, with talking one to another, whether good, positive, or bad, negative. Just keep note of these. Verse 5, it's not good to accept the person of the wicked to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips, there's one, entereth, fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. The fool's mouth is his destruction, and the lips, his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The name of the Lord is as a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him to great men. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whether you love death or whether you love life, as far as that is concerned, that tongue of yours will make you eat the fruit of it either way. Didn't say that the tongue was a useless instrument, but the Bible did say in the book of James that it could be a world, it was a world of iniquity, it was set on fire of hell. And it can, however, be used for the glory and honor of God, death and life from the power of the tongue. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Our Father in heaven, we pray your blessings upon all that shall be said here tonight. Minister to our heart and life in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I am not sure whether or not that I have spoken from this text to you. I may have in years gone by. I'm not sure of that, but I do know what God has given me here for this day and for this evening's service. And I want to give it to you. I like to say this, first of all, that a church is only as strong as the homes that are in it. If the homes are in collapse, then the church will as well be in collapse. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, when the Bible talks about the will of God, the filling of the Spirit of God, he concludes that that dissertation on the will and filling of the Holy Spirit by dealing with the home and the family and talking about the relationship between Christ and the church. In this chapter, in verse number 22, the Bible makes this great statement. I believe that it is a very true statement. The Bible said, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord."
Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now, the truth of the matter is the human relationship of husband and wife, there are a lot of jokes that are told about that relationship. All you have to do is type in husband, wife jokes on the internet, and you'll find all kinds of husband and wife jokes and the old lady and the old man and getting into, you know, dealing with that relationship in some comical way. And the relationship of husband and wife in our society has such very little weight placed upon it because of what we see in the media. In the media of our country and in the entertainment world particularly, it's as if you can't really get marriage figured out until you've been married four or five times, and then you eventually kind of get it figured out. And all that that is saying is, I'm entering into this relationship with me as the primary one to be pleased. And that is not the way to enter the marriage relationship. The Bible said, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Without trying to correct the King James Bible, in the bottom margin of this verse, I have put this little statement. The right wife is important. I believe that it is the most important thing for you to seek the will of God for your life and to find the wife that God would have you to find. I said to the class this morning, I have written in the bottom margin of my Bible this for my children in days to come. And the statement is this: one day you will read this note and I will be dead and gone. But I want you to know, to my children, I want you to know that your mom was my good thing from the Lord. I could not have asked for a better wife and mother. She has been my rock, my guide during troubled times. She's been my best friend and my lover. I love my wife. And I thank God for the wife that God has given me. And I always want my children to know that their dad loves their mom. Now, in this particular chapter, of course, the tongue presents itself as being a topic or subject in this text. Friendship presents itself as a topic or subject in this text. Offended brethren is a topic in this text. But I was impressed by the Lord to look at this text in regard to the rules of relationship, the rules of a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife. You might want to take some of these things down and go and reconsider them later, or get the CD and listen to it again. As we begin to walk through here, I want us to see how important it is, this relationship between me and my spouse that God has given me. And for those of you who are going to be married someday, how important it is, this relationship between the husband and the wife. And as we give consideration to these things, I'd like to make this statement. 53-4% of marriages, first-time marriages, end in divorce. And someone talks about the fact that the divorce rate has gone down in America, but there are some things to give consideration to when you consider that topic. There are not as many people getting married as there were. There are a lot of people who are shacking up in sin today, and there are some considerations to be made regarding that text. Now, when we think about this marriage relationship, 53-4% of first-time marriages end in divorce, 75% of second marriages end in divorce. No marriage has to end in divorce if the rules of God's law for marriage are followed. Now, let me make this statement very clear. I believe that God has a person for each of us. The Bible said that it is not good for a man to be alone. God created marriage. I believe that God intends for us to be married. But let me make this statement as we give consideration to what I just said. I believe God has a particular, specific person for you in your life. Sad to say, most people are not so concerned about the will of God as to find that person for them in the will of God for their life. Now, with consideration to that, let me make this statement. I do believe, however, that the Bible is so clear about how to treat people and how to treat one another in the marriage relationship I believe that you could take two people from totally different backgrounds, from totally different places, have nothing in common, have an arranged marriage where they do not even know one another, but if their primary goal is to honor God and to be obedient to what God's Word has to say about marriage, they will live as a happy couple all the days of their life because primarily they are seeking to honor God above all else, and God always tends to bless those who approach anything with that attitude. Now look with me at some of these laws or rules for relationship in this text. In verse number 1, we see the commencement of the relationship. In verse number 1, the Bible said, "Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all knowledge." Now, or with all wisdom. Now, I do understand that the context of this verse is dealing with wisdom, but let us make topical application to the subject of relationship. In verse number 1, Brother Wayne, the Bible is saying that the relationship in this topic that I'm giving you begins with the desire of a man. Now, I like to say that my relationship with my wife began as a result of a carnal desire that I had for my wife. Now, I didn't say sensual, I didn't say sexual, I didn't say ungodly, but there was a carnal desire, a fleshly desire that I had for that woman before I ever spoke to her. In other words, there was something appealing about Miss Beverly to me when I saw her under that gospel tent when she was 15 years of age and I was 16 years of age. And before we ever met, there was something appealing about her to my eye. When I saw her, there was something that made a desire come with inside of my heart and mind about wanting to get to know that woman. And as I got to know her, based on the desire that I had for what I saw, there was a growing of that relationship, and the desire grew for not what she was, but for who she was. And that happens through what we call desire. Now, young people, let me let you in on a little secret. There's nothing wrong with the desires that God has put in your heart and life. There's nothing wrong with you when you look at a young lady and she is appealing to you. She's beautiful to you. There's something that just absolutely is fantastic about that girl to you, and it makes your heart do things you didn't think your heart would do. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the way God made us to be. The problem is when you as Adam look at Steve and have that same feeling, that's where the problem lies. That's where the problem lies. I want you to realize and understand God put that in us. The desire for love, the desire for sexual fulfillment, all of that God placed in us. And sometimes we've made these things of our human relationships taboo in the church when we ought to say exactly what the Bible says and nothing more. So there is a desire. Now, once that desire commences in an individual and the relationship grows, the Bible said in verse 1 that that individual separates himself. In other words, that relationship becomes exclusive. There is a time that comes when you as a young lady and you as a young man, and particularly we who are married, look at that individual to whom we are fond of and say, "There is no one else in my life but you. I have nobody else. The friendships that I once had with other girls, that's over with. The friendship that I once had with other boys, that's over with. I'm not calling them. I'm not texting them. I'm not sending them pictures back and forth. I'm not on the email or any social network with them. I am exclusively committing my life to you." Young men, young ladies, there comes a time when that takes place in your life. My wife and I were talking about a young man that I had the privilege of having him in my school many years ago and helping him with his education. And I looked at he and his wife, and their marriage is back together now. But, I mean, it just blew slam apart, and I was so burdened. And since I've even been here tonight, he sent me a text of his family and a picture of his family being back together. And, boy, I'm so happy for him. But my wife, I said, it just surprised me that particular young man went that way. And my wife said, it doesn't surprise me. I said, why does that not surprise you? She said, because he was always a player. He was always a player. He was always after another young lady and another relationship and having three or four strung along the way at one time. I want you to realize when it comes to relationship, particularly that of marriage, it is an exclusive, committed relationship that we enter into. An exclusive, committed relationship. May I say to you, men who are husbands already, you have no business. You have no business having a woman who is not your wife as your good friend and spending time in communion and lunch and supper with a woman who's not your wife. The same goes for you dear ladies. You have absolutely no right to have a relationship of friendship and communion with a man who is not your husband. You have decided to separate yourself exclusively to that person that God has put in your life. Now, in verse number 3, the Bible talks about contempt in the relationship. Now, note this with me, if you would. The Bible said, when the wicked cometh, then cometh contempt, and with ignominy reproach. And so, one of the things that we find that begins to deteriorate the marriage is the subject of contempt. Now notice two words that we want to play on in this verse. One is the word contempt. The other is the word ignominy. This word contempt and ignominy. The word contempt means disrespect. When you begin to disrespect your husband or to disrespect your wife with your words or with your ways, you are setting the groundwork for the loss of the most precious commodity you have in life. I want you to know that your entire life, your financial life, your love life, your parenting life, everything in your life is surrounded by how you keep your marriage together. There are many people who have lost absolute fortunes and lost their life altogether and have ended their life at the end of a gun barrel because they could not keep contempt out of their home. When you begin to disgrace your husband, lady, in front of other people, or sir, when you begin to disgrace your wife in front of other people, you are sowing some seeds of discord into your home that revolve around disrespect. And that disrespect will eventually lead to the dissolve of your marriage. In this word, ignominy, we see disgrace. In other words, this individual is disgracing their husband or their wife. Now you can disrespect them and eventually bring disgrace. But when a man chooses to disgrace his wife through becoming involved in things he shouldn't be involved in, or through disregarding that relationship and beginning to sin, and that sin becomes public and open, and his wife begins to be looked at in a disgraceful way in her eyes by society, you have brought contempt into your home, and you will be fortunate if you keep it together, let alone ever have a close relationship. So you have discord, you have disrespect, you have disgrace, and you have dishonor. Once these things are a part of your life, there will be the dissolve of the marriage ending in divorce. Now note with me something that is important to keep your marriage from ending in this way. In verse number 4, the Bible said that the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. In other words, he said words are important. Words are important to keep contempt out of your marriage. In other words, communion is excessively important in your marriage. It is important for you to turn things off and listen. It is important for you to talk back and forth. It is important. It took me a long time to learn that lesson. It is important to listen to what your mate has to say. It is important not to, and one of the things that I had trouble with is trying to speak up and trying to interrupt my wife when she was talking to me about something that was on her heart or on her mind. She is looking to communicate with me, not for me to control what is being said. For some of you, listen to me, ladies, I've observed a few things along the way. For some of you, your husband can't get a word in edgewise because your mouth is as big as the Mississippi River. Did you hear what? I'm not a dummy. I do listen a little bit. I want you to understand and realize there's got to be communion in that home. There's got to be communication in that home. Sometimes just take a breath and let somebody say something. How about that? That goes for men and women. Come on now. Communication is a two-way street. Hush a little bit. Give it a rest. Give him a break. Give her a break and let them talk a little bit. Communication is important. If you're going to keep your marriage together, communication is a must. But notice with me as we follow on down, notice that good communication is followed in the text by contentious communication. Notice with me, if you would, in verse number 6, the Bible said, a fool's lips, here's communication, it's just the wrong kind, a fool's lips enters into contention and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snares of his soul. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Notice this, the Bible said it is contentious communication. Yeah, there is talk going on inside the four walls of the home, but the talk has to do with contention. It has to do with anger. It has to do with putting your little barbs in, being a burr underneath one another's saddle, and being a smart aleck inside your home with your communication towards your husband or wife, cutting your eyes at your husband, cutting your eyes at your wife, and then being very, very sharp with them in your communication. You're laying the seeds to destroy your marriage. Notice with me this, the Bible said in verse number 6 that it is entering into contention that the fool's lips go. The Bible said in the book of Proverbs that only by pride cometh contention. When there is contentious, foolish words that are being stated in the four walls of your home or in the confines of your relationship between husband and wife, the number one sin in your home is your pride, ma'am, or your pride, sir. That's the problem. And when you are full of yourself and your wants, your desires, your needs, and you put everything that you want above the feelings and above the relationship that you have with that husband or with that wife, you are in pride. And when you are involved in pride, you have X marked out God from your relationship, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So when you're involved in contentious communication in your home, God cannot hear your prayer, God will not hear your prayer, and you are on your own, which means you've set yourself up to be a part of the 53% or the 75%, whichever your case may be. I want you to understand, this marriage relationship needs God in it. And if your contentious communication is a norm at your home, you've X'd God out, and you can forget about Him answering your prayer. You can forget about Him doing anything for you. You can forget about the blessings of God on you and your home and your family. You can just mark her down. God is not there to help you. Pride, number two. Notice those words are piercing. The Bible said they're like wounds. They cut through. They go down in the innermost part of the belly. Those tail-bearing, contentious words of the fool in your relationship, whether it's the husband or the wife, is cutting your wife or cutting your husband. They're going down in the innermost part of her soul. They're destroying her, or they're destroying him from the inside out. And there won't be long until there's a division in the marriage through the dissension you have caused, and you're going to dissolve your marriage just through words So they're prideful, they're piercing. But notice they're paralyzing. In verse number 19, a brother that is offended, he's harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like bars of a castle. In other words, they paralyze your relationship to the place and point where one may not choose to go on. They may stay, but they may not choose to advance your relationship with them ever again. There are husband and wife relationships to this day in many churches, maybe even this one. They are married. They're going to stay married till they die. But their longed for day is when their husband or wife takes their last breath and they're out of their life. There are relationships that I have seen all over this country that are like that. Wicked and ungodly and not honoring Christ. But the reason why some of those relationships have come to that place and point is there has been such contention and such offense and such pride and such piercing words in that relationship until they brought their mate to a place and point where their heart is like it's enclosed in a castle with bars. They have been paralyzed to the point where they cannot be won back to you. Words can do that, not just actions. Number next, notice with me the covering of safety in our relationship, verse number 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You'll notice the correlation between verse 10 and verse 19. In verse number 19, there is a castle or a high tower, a bulwark in verse number 19 that one enters into and locks themselves away. Verse 10, you basically have the same analogy and scenario. Here is a strong tower, a bulwark, a castle where someone gets into and locks themselves away. One is for seclusion, the other is for safety. In verse 19, one mate is secluding themselves from the other. While in verse 10, one is running to God and safety encompasses their life. In other words, when you run to God as a husband, and when you run to God as a wife, and when the two of you collectively run to the Lord and say, Lord, we give you our life, we give you our home, we give you our all, we want to be the best husband we can be, the best wife we can be, we want to be the best parents we can be, and Lord, all of it is central to our relationship with you. You are the most important thing in our life, and you run into the name of the Lord, there is safety from God that falls on your home and your life. The covering of the relationship. Notice the collapse of the relationship beginning between verse 11 and 23. We'll get these out of the way and be done, let you go home. In verse 11 through 23, we find just a few, I think maybe five things that we see as the collapse of the marriage. Note with me, please, if you would, verse number 11. Verse number 11. In verse 11, the Bible said, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and has an high wall in his conceit. Verse 23, the poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. Now notice with me, if you would, harm done in the marriage. Number one, when it comes to the collapse of the marriage, the harm that is done in the marriage. What is one of the most harmful things in the marriage? Now, you will note with me in verse number 10 that the Bible speaks about the name of the Lord being a strong tower. And the man or woman who runs into that name of the Lord, runs to the Lord, that man or woman is safe from harm. Now, note with me the very next verse, verse 11, talks about the antithesis to that. The antithesis to that in verse 11 is, here is a rich man, he doesn't think he needs the name of the Lord. He doesn't think that there is a need in his life for the strong tower of God. He is not running for safety unto God. The Bible says here in verse number 11 that this wealthy man, he is his own strong city. This man who thinks he needs nothing, He is a high wall unto himself in his own conceit. This man, in other words, is harming his relationship because he doesn't see a need for any further commitment to God. He doesn't see a need. He sees a need of a relationship with God in regard to staying out of hell. He sees that. He sees he doesn't want to go to hell, and so he's going to stay with God so he doesn't go to hell. But he doesn't see the need of God for his husband, for the husband or wife of their life. They don't see that need of God. They don't see that God is the glue that's going to keep it together. They don't see that. They don't see that God is going to keep their home together and keep their home safe and keep the devil from dividing them apart. They don't see that. They live their life oblivious to God. They may read a verse or a chapter a day. They may whisper a word of prayer here and there. But as far as commitment to God, there is no commitment to God. And they are not committed to God as a husband or wife. They're not committed individually. They're not committed collectively. And as a result of that, they fall into the category of verse number 11. They feel like they are their own safety. Their conceit is they do not necessarily have to have God as a safety measure for their home. And then the Bible said in verse number 23 that this rich man answereth roughly. In other words, the individual who is an island unto their self feels as if they have it all together. They are very humanistic in their thinking. They are their own God. And Brother Brandon, in this verse of Scripture, he says, that person has the tendency to answer others rough. Rough. Do you pride yourself on your roughness? You're a fool. Do you pride yourself on speaking your mind? You're a fool. You're a fool. You're a person who is sowing seeds of contention into your life. I said this morning, and the Lord just laid it on my heart, and I told our young people downstairs, I got to stop in the middle of the message and write this down. Listen to this. I want you to hear God gave me this morning. The seeds of contention will not grow in the soil of submission. Did you hear me? Let me say it again. The seeds of contention in your home, they will not grow in the soil of submission. When I am submitted to the needs of my wife, and when my wife is submitted to the needs of me as her husband, when we submit ourselves one to another, contention and strife and discord and dishonor and disgrace and disrespect will not grow in my house. That is soil that will not allow that stuff that divides my home to grow. And so when a man feels that he is an island unto himself, he is harming his marriage relationship. Number two, verse number 12. The Bible said, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. In other words, before God will honor your home, you have got to be humble toward your husband or wife, and you've got to be humble toward God. But the opposite of that in verse 12 is haughtiness, which is pride. When you are haughty in your home, you are going to cause the collapse of your marriage. When it is going to be your way or no way at all. Did you hear me now? When it is going to be your way or no way at all in your home, you are going to collapse your home. When a home is not collaborative between a husband and a wife, collectively working together in their commitment toward each other and for the betterment of that home, under God, you're going to have many, many problems in your home. Now, let me make this statement, and it's going to probably offend a few people, but that'll be just fine. And we have a tendency of getting over those things. I want to make this statement. When you as a husband or you as a wife withhold your physical love from your husband and from your wife because of little angers that you have in your home between the both of you. According to 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, you have disobeyed the word of God. You have defrauded, that's the word that's used there. You have defrauded your husband and you have defrauded your wife when you withhold your sexual love, your physical love from your mate. And when you do that, you have sinned. You have sinned against God. And when you have sinned against God in that fashion, you will give an account before God Almighty on Judgment Day for that. I want you to realize and understand there is no justification for adultery. No justification for it. But there will be some women and some men who stand before God on Judgment Day and give an account of defrauding their husband and defrauding their wife to the place and point that they drove them into the arms of someone else. Sin. Sin. So they've harmed this relationship by being haughty. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 13. In verse 13, the Bible says this: "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it," a man that answers something before he hears her out, Andy, a man that fails to hear before he hears it out, "it is folly and it is a shame unto him." When you fail to hear what your husband or wife has to say, you are going to collapse your marriage. When you fail to sit down, take time out of, I know you're the most important person in the world. You're busier than anybody else in the world. You don't have 24 hours in a day like we have. God's only given you 12, and you don't have time for your husband or wife. The Bible said when you do not hear them, you're headed for collapse. When you don't hear them, you're headed for collapse. Notice with me number 4, verse 14 and 19. In verse 14, "the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear it?" In verse 19, the Bible said, "a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." In other words, number 4, when you hurt your husband or you hurt your wife, you cut them to the quick. And I'm talking about you hurt them. You hurt their feelings. I hope you're not physically hurting your mate. God forbid I hear about you as a member of this church physically abusing your husband and your wife. God forbid that happen. God forbid that happen. I'd hate to hear some of you men slapping your wife around, hitting your wife, shoving your wife around, hurting her. I'd hate to hear about that. I'd hate to hear about that because I might just disqualify myself from the ministry for a day or two because I might just take you out and beat the tar out of you. There's no time for that. Dishonorable. It's despicable. It's wicked. It's ungodly. I want you to see and understand something here. The Bible says very clearly, the Bible says that when we offend, in verse number 14, the Bible said that when the spirit of that man has been offended, it is wounded, they can't bear it. When you are hurting and harming your husband, hurting and harming your wife, wounding their spirit, cutting them with your little sharp words and your little eyes and all those little things that you do. When you do that, you're setting your home up for collapse. Notice with me the final thing in this is verse number 21. In verse 21, the Bible said, "death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." In other words, harshness with the tongue. When you are harsh with your tongue, cutting with your tongue toward your husband, toward your wife, you're wounding their spirit. They can't bear it. You're headed for destruction. You're headed for the divorce court. You're headed for being divided from your fortune. You're going to lose what you got. What I've got's more important. Sometimes, now listen to me. What I have with my wife and with my children, it is more important to me than me being right. I have not been right 100% of the time in the 28 years we've been married. I haven't been right, but I got news for you. Neither has she. She's not been right 100% of the time. There have been days when she was right and I was wrong. There have been days when I was right and she was wrong. But I want you to understand, my being right is not worth losing what I have in her and those children. So, well, you're just a lily-livered fella, compromising fella who's not willing to stand on his own two feet and take his position in the home. You're not that big a fool. To believe that, you're not that big a fool. If you are, you're going to pay the price for it. All right, let's finish it up. So what does the Bible go on to say? Look at verse 20 and 21. Again, the Bible talks about not only the collapse of the home, but it gets back once again to the subject of communication. In verse 20, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. A man's belly is satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, with what he says, and with the increase of his lips he'll be filled. And notice again, I'm not going to read the first two words, but life is in the power of the tongue. In other words, communication is the life of the relationship. Communication is the life of the relationship. All right, let's end it. Verse 24. In verse 24, I would like to say that companionship in the relationship is important. In verse 24, the Bible said, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Listen to me now. We always believe that verse number 24 has to do with Jesus. It doesn't. It doesn't. This is a principle for living. I believe Jesus fits. Jesus fits in verse 24. He had friends. He showed himself friendly. And he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But I'm going to be honest with you. I've never had a brother. Had two sisters. And my wife, I'm not talking about our love life. I'm talking about our friendship. Brother Wiley, my friendship with my wife is closer than my siblings ever was. It doesn't even compare. My friendship with my wife is closer than any buddy I ever had, any pal I've ever had. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather spend time with my wife than anybody else in the world. Seriously. I would. I would rather, if I've got to eat out, you know, if I've got to eat out next Friday night with one person, and that's all I get to take is one person with me, you know, I'm not going to call up Brother Brandon and say, hey, let's go on a dinner date, you know. Let's go out and have supper together tonight. I'm going to choose my wife. I'm going to go spend time with her and fellowship with her and commune with her. Why is that? Because she's my friend. And she's closer to me than my brother. The Bible said companionship in a marriage is exclusively important. I don't have any friends any closer to me than my wife is. I don't have any friends any closer to me than my wife is. May I say to you, I have no gentlemen who are greater friends to me than my wife is to me. I definitely have no lady friends who are closer to me than my wife is to me. Now, thank you for that. Amen. Vocalization from the wife in the pew. All right, listen to this. Women have a tendency to enjoy companionship and friendship with other women. Real close. Very close. Guys are more surface with their friendship, you know. While women are more intimate with their friendship, not anything improper, but just intimate in their friendship, the one with the other. They share more, they talk more. That's good and bad. But you shouldn't have a girlfriend of yours that is any closer to you than your husband is. Your friendship needs to be with your husband. Your friendship needs to be with your wife. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. So me and my husband are not too friendly. Well, it takes both of you. It takes both of you. It's not just one of you. It takes both of you. And they can be a friend that is closer to you than a brother could ever be. Let's stand our feet. Would you come to the piano, Miss Alicia? As Miss Alicia plays, we bow our head and close our eyes. There was a time when my relationship with my wife was nearing divorce before I got right with God. And I can be honest with you in saying everything that I preached about tonight was a part of my life. That's the reason I was headed for divorce. I was harsh. I was full of pride. Everybody else was closer to me than my wife was. I had improper relationships as far as, you know, I had people in my life didn't need to be there. And I'm not talking about immoral. I'm just talking about improper. Now I want you to realize God spared my life. And God has taught me some things about that relationship between my wife and I. And I want you to learn the lessons that God's taught us and not have to go through some of the things I had to go through to get that place. Altar's open if you'd like to come pray. Miss Alicia's playing. Your home, outside of your salvation, I believe your home is one of the most important things in your life.